Hey friends, it's your Intrepid Warriors, David and Margaret, coming to you with a new episode of the Leadership Deep Dive. I'm actually doing a deep dive in Montana this week. And where are you, Margaret?
I'm in Boulder, back home in Boulder. I was on the East Coast for a few days, but I'm back at my desk today.
Well,
And
here
you
we
are
are. Yeah, here we
intrepid,
are.
all the way from Florida to Montana.
From Florida, Montana, I'm in Red Lodge, enjoying the mountains, exploring a little bit this area, which is quite beautiful. And went to Yellowstone yesterday.
Ooh, how was it? I've been reading about how crowded it is there.
Was very tolerable. We had
Okay.
heard the warning. One of my wife Lillian's friends had been there last week and was saying, "Oh, I get early," and it's like crazy. And I don't know. I met up with a friend of mine from college in Cody and drove in the east entrance. What a beautiful drive. I've never gone in the east entrance. That is a spectacular drive.
Oh, good.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance to go in via Cody, I recommend it. The north entrances are also very nice. And we went to the final resting place of one of our fraternity brothers who had died about 40 years ago. And I was there to when actually 40 years ago this month, where we spread his ashes. We found the spot on the Yellowstone River where his ashes, where he was final resting place is. So that was nice. It's really like I had like a cryptic description of where this location was, and a very vague. I hadn't been back in 40 years, so but we found it.
Nice. That's impressive. I bet that felt good to just stand there and.
It felt good to just stand there, and then we actually drove up to the northwest part of the park, a place called Slough Creek, which is quite remote. And also another great place if you like to fish. It's one of the best cutthroat trout fishing rivers around. And
I like to sit where other people fish. I don't like fishing, but I'm happy to bring a camp chair. I mean, I totally
it's
understand why people like rivers. That I get.
it's that Slough Creek has set multiple camping sites. There's about 11 to 12 miles of trail from the trailhead up to the Montana border. And there's good camping sites. I know you like to camp. So maybe Kevin would like to do some fishing there
I would
on
love
the
to.
creek. It's a river. I mean, it's a creek in Yellowstone, but it's a river anywhere else. This thing's ginormous. And we hiked in just to the beginning of that trail, just a couple miles, and got to see the country where my friend had died in a climbing fall, and where I was with him at this time. And boy, was I flooded with memories. I mean, like stuff that had been stuffed down for so long and so deep that that they had to come percolating up like the mud pots in the thermal features around
Yeah.
Yellowstone.
Well, I feel like probably 40 years ago, you didn't have any of the sort of skills to allow, right? To allow those feelings. Whereas today you do.
Right. It's well, that had followed on by just some weeks of my sister's suicide. So I was really I couldn't deal,
It
and
was too much. It was
it was
too
too
much.
much. It was trauma, I've just come to realize that now. And
Yeah.
I was heading off to grad school after this accident, and just stuff it down and move on. Not the most skillful way of dealing with stuff, but it was nice to allow the memories. All kinds of details were coming back. The Park Service, the Rangers, the helicopter ride where I was pointing out where we had been, and we kind of spot. I mean, this is a very rugged country. Rugged country. Even now, 40 years later, absolutely rugged, and we were probably, I could tell the whole tale. Maybe it's a topic for another podcast, but It's just all the details were flooding back. So it was, and the emotions. And so it was just like processing trauma.
Yeah. How are you feeling now that you sort of allowed that to swamp you a little bit?
A little tired today. It was a long day, driving from Red Lodge to Cody into the park, finding these locations, driving all the way back. I'm exhausted today.
There is something, I mean, for me, like the emotional stuff is maybe more exhausting than anything physical that I ever do. Different. It's a different kind of tired.
It is. It is. Yeah, so that was as an ex, I don't know what the current state of best practices would be in terms of processing traumatic memories, but I just allowed the process that I was experienced to experience it. And this was something until the leadership program, Margaret, that you and I both had participated in at different times, leadership development. I hadn't talked about this incident to anybody for, and that's gone back. So probably for about 30 years, that was so stuffed down that never really talked about it with anybody. And
I
it was
don't
in
think you've,
that program I was able to start processing it,
I don't think you've talked about it much with me, actually. This is, I'm
Oh,
not going to say the new
don't take it
information.
personally.
No, of course I'm not taking it personally, but it's not exactly new information, but I feel like it's a very, very thin file. Like you've referred to it, but I don't think.
Oh, I could color in lots of details now. So much of it came back. It's there, still there in the memory, One thing I was mentioning to my friend Mike, who was with me, and this friend of ours he had been a roommate of Mike's in college, so they were even closer than I was to Paul, and he was closer than I was. And he had never really heard the whole story either.
Was it just you two there?
Yeah, it was just me and Paul in the back country doing some fishing and hiking and climbing, and yeah, it was just the two of us. Pretty room, like I said, and there was nobody there. You can go back there and at least back
Certainly for
then,
40 years ago, yeah, you could
not
have a
see
lot of
another living
solitude.
soul. That was a very back then a relatively unexplored part of the park. That northwest corner, but now, that's a well-known trail and fishing river. But back then, it was a, yeah, and is still quite remote. But people hiking there, and I recommend it to anybody in the audience if they ever want to go up and see a part of the park that's the trail is steep for like the first mile, then mile and a half, and then you open into this river valley that is just absolutely spectacular. And then you hike along the river, and you can see moose in there. You can see all the kinds of wildlife. It's a really special place. So, but the one thing I had mentioned to my friend Mike was, the hardest thing I had through all that, the hardest thing I had to do was face Paul's father, Al, because once they found his body, which took, a day or so, and I was hanging out at the ranger station, they had a massive search and rescue, dogs, everything,
Was the
and they
climbing
fought.
fall, David?
Pardon?
The climbing fall, or
Black. Climbing fall, yeah, there's some mountains back in there, some steep head walls that we were trying to get up and over in two different locations, so we were separated, and I never made that summit up onto that ridge line, and so I went looking for Paul. I could not find a trace of him for hours, and so the sun was going down, and I had to get out of there. And I again, no trail. This is just all bushwhacking. And I was able to find a drainage and find my way back to the trail. Hike up and out of the park into Montana to find a farmhouse where I could make a phone call. This is, because it was 8 miles or so, 9 miles back to the trailhead. And then another whatever to the ranger station. That was not going to happen. So I had the wherewithal just to realize that I could get up and out of the park and get to a hard line. And we called. And the next morning, ranger came up to my campsite where I was sleeping, and they brought in a helicopter. When we went up and found the area where we had been bushwhacking and hiking, there were some snow fields. We could see our footprints, and then the rangers who had come up the trail with a search and rescue dog finally found his body. Yeah,
Yeah. Oof, that's a
yeah.
lot. And
But I had to confront Paul's father. The ranger made the call. Paul's father, Al, came out the next day or so. Again, the timeline is somewhat
sure.
fuzzy in my memory, but I had to sit with him and tell him what happened. That
Yeah.
was the hardest part, actually.
I imagine. Did
Yeah.
he come back with you to scatter the ashes?
A year later, we were all there, his mother, his father, and I scattered the ashes. And then just a few years ago, Al, Paul's father, passed away. And this was just after or during COVID. And we were supposed to go back to the Yellowstone River and spread his ashes. And I got, locked down and never did make it to that event. But now, so they're both spread in the same spot. It's quite
Yeah.
beautiful. Maybe I'll share a photo if you're going to post this.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. That's a
Yeah.
that's that wasn't our topic that we had planned to talk about, but it feels very present and very important. And there's something about this thing that happened, and you lived through it, and it's seared, obviously, in many ways in your memory. I mean, maybe some of the logistics aren't. But I also know about you, David. You just shared it happened really close to the death of your sister. And then you went to grad school and you did the thing that so many people do, which is just really try to soldier through. I know grad school is one of your least favorite chapters of your life.
I was
Huh. I
sharing that
wonder
with Lillian.
why.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
was sharing that with Lillian yesterday. I said that was the most miserable 2 years of my life. And part
Yeah.
of it was, I think I just moved on too quickly from both of those events.
Yeah, there's something. So, I mean, I don't think there's like a lot of like prescriptive things to say here, right? Because we all deal with grief with the skills that we have to deal with grief and with the support system that we have available to us.
What
And given,
support system?
yeah, I was just gonna say, given, what I know about you back then and your family and that community of of adventurers who are not necessarily they're achievers and hill summiters, but not necessarily guys that you can cry to. You didn't have a system. I know your family wasn't really that. And how do you think this journey has sort of impacted, or that part of your journey impacted your leadership journey later? Like it was sort of this. If there's a whole big novel, this was, I mean, it wasn't the first chapter, but like it was pretty early, right? You were in your 20s and
Yeah.
you just stuffed it all in and you soldiered on. But it was important, right? Like, even though you didn't deal with it then, it had some giant impact, I feel like, on the path that you ended up on.
It's a good question. Yeah, I think all I can say is right now, maybe see where this goes, is that I would say there's some regret if I were to put a finger on an emotion of just moving on with those two events in my life, which happened, almost simultaneously or very close within weeks of each other. I now have a slight tinge of regret for not having dealt with that more skillfully. I mean, it was as skillful as it was for me at that time. Let's just put it that way. But knowing what I know now and what you and I, some of the work we do around the emotional field, I would have sought out therapy. This was just not even in the lexicon for my family or friend.
Yeah. I
And
think
process that sooner. I do think had I done that, I might have been more emotionally intelligent earlier in life.
yeah, that's interesting. If you have let it sift through, you mean? Like if you
Right.
had allowed what
I
happened
didn't
rather
even
than
give myself any
stuffed it.
time for grief.
Yeah, it was, well, I think, I mean, when we're younger, when we don't have any practice, when we don't have any support or guidance, it feels like grief is going to be a bottomless pit. And you're like, if you allow yourself to go there, that you're never going to get out again.
I just didn't have any. I guess the gift, if you're talking about impact, I might frame it in terms of there was a gift in the moving forward. I will say that as this was challenge. I mean, those two events happening, death of a sister via suicide and death of a friend in a climbing accident, and would have paralyzed many folks,
Yeah.
frozen them in time, and maybe frozen their psyche. So I think there was a gift in stuffing it down and moving on. I know that's probably not. If I had to do it all over again, I think I would seek more professional help from a coach or a therapist, and not just let that simmer for 30 or 40 years. Th 30 years till I really start to dig into it again when I was in the leadership program,
I think it's important. I mean, I think this idea of best, like what the best thing to do, as if that's some absolute, like it just doesn't work that way, right? I mean, probably you, David, at that age, and given again what resources you had available to you and what resources you didn't have available to you, that at the time maybe that was your best, right?
Oh, it was
Your
my
best
best.
plan. It was your best plan in that moment. Although I don't think it's right, like in the concrete, it's not a great plan to have two huge losses and not pause to deal with either of them. Two really big T traumas.
No, it's true.
And then I think about the cult, right? Your family had zero bandwidth because they were dealing with their loss.
Yeah, was not getting any love there, and just thrown into the meat grinder of Columbia University right afterwards.
Yeah.
Where again, not getting any love there, just slamming it with graduate level,
In
engineering.
engineering, which is not known for being a touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy kind of a space
There was
either.
absolutely nothing warm and fuzzy about that experience.
Yeah.
So I think in hindsight now, with some of the training that you and I have done, I am more compassionate person and more open to listening to others talk about and creating a space where people can talk about some of the traumas or scars or processing that they're doing in their lives now. Yeah, so that would be one impact. Like, I have the bandwidth to. Some people don't even listen to these stories, you know?
What
If
do
you're
you
not with
mean?
us in this podcast, then you're not one of those. But like, oh, you know, yeah, you should just soldier on, move on. You know, it's in the past. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, maybe somebody with a judge for sure.
Yeah, I will say that there was, I don't know, something that just came to me. I was also sharing with Michael was that. When I got back to New York after the dust had settled, you know, from the incident where, you know, I had to go back home and I was getting ready to go off to Columbia that summer. I was, because I was working already for the university and in the program. And so there was like, there was no gap. But Michael told me that he didn't hear about this until he had read the obituary in the alumni magazine. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, I'm sorry that, you know, you weren't aware. I didn't go to the services for Paul. And I had called Paul's father, Al, and said, Al, I can't go. I said, I cannot deal. And so there was some awareness at that moment, like I cannot go and then tell this story over and over again to people who are going to ask me what happened. They weren't there. You know, I was experiencing a lot of shame, and I did not want to have to explain, you know, go through this, just relive that trauma over and over again immediately after. So I had the wisdom. I called Al. I said, Al, I can't do it. You know, please, you know, and I remained friends with Al my whole life. He never judged me. He never criticized me. It was really a blessing, you know. But that was one thing I avoided. I don't know if it, you know, as I was thinking about sharing this, I was like, oh, was that my avoider saboteur? No, I said, I think this was pretty protective. Avoiding that one incident, you know, going to the services was protective, I think. But
Yeah, I mean, as you're talking about it, if you had just been a no-show, I think that might have been more saboteur energy. But the fact that you called his father and just said, "I can't," you know, that actually sounds more like empathy, you know, just self-care.
self-compassion
And you're not
and
wrong. I mean, if you had gone to that service, right? I don't think it would have felt super good to you, and I don't think that you would have been any more of a man after, right? Or any more of anything after.
it would have been very but I don't know you know.
Sometimes we do hard things because we need to for integrity. Sometimes we do hard things because there's growth. Sometimes hard things are just hard.
Yeah. Well, it was certainly out of integrity from the standpoint of being not of it not being whole and complete for our group of friends, because I think it left a I think it left a an incompletion for them. And now, subsequently, I've gone. You can clean up messes 40 years later, man. You can. It's
Yeah.
true. I've done it individually with them and shared what happened. And you know, now that I have the wherewithal to do that, and
Yeah.
so I have made it mostly whole and complete with my friends who I'm still, you know. Friends with who, you know, this group of fraternity brothers from that era. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Maybe the leadership lesson here is sometimes life is longer than it is deep, right? Sometimes we get We get another chance later when we do have the skills to have a different best plan than we did back then. And then you took advantage of that, right? You did it. You followed through later when you could.
I do think, some of the training that you and I have experienced helped with that. I do see, folks who haven't been coached the way you and I have been coached, folks who have not worked on themselves or gone to therapy to process things, may never clean up a 40-year-old mess. They'll just The
Yeah.
mess will still be open loops for people.
Well,
So
maybe
maybe there is a
that's
lesson in there that,
and
since
the
this is a
challenge.
leadership.
Like if there's something that needs to be cleaned up, can you do it now, even if you couldn't do it then?
That would be a good challenge, I think, to lead. This is a deep dive. So this is a deep dive conversation. And when there are incompletions in your life, some of it was just incompletion in my life. So now we're getting, I think, to the heart of it by not showing up for the service that
Right.
left an incompletion for me.
Right. Even if it wasn't a wrong decision, it still left an incompletion because things aren't neatly packaged often, our choices, right?
Right. So when we talk about integrity, there's no judgment in that word, although sometimes it is used with judgment,
Yeah.
right? It's just, is it whole and complete? And that means also, is it whole and complete for you too? Like, in other words, in this scenario, I do think by visiting the final resting place and revisiting, I hadn't been to these two places in 40 years, So I've got some completion now around it, and I've had the opportunity to share that story here now publicly.
Yeah.
So now
Wow.
your file's
Yeah.
a little bit thicker,
30 minutes.
and maybe when I see you next, I'll get more into the details. I mean, there's a lot of details that came flooding back that was like, whoa, yeah, that was quite an ordeal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a huge ideal. And it sounds almost like you're allowing yourself to, just sort of safely go back and
Yeah.
let it exist in a way that you didn't, where you really needed to back then tamp it down and not handle it back then anymore. I mean, you obviously had to handle it and you had to live through it, but now there's more capacity for you to be tender with yourself and the memory.
And, I'm realizing this is one of the things of trauma is that those memories get seared into your psyche. Like the level of detail that was coming back for me was extraordinary. So this is also, I think, for, and I know for you, you've had, similar, yeah, you've had traumatic experiences in your life, and I think you could attest to how sharp those memories can
Yeah,
be.
when you can describe the wallpaper,
Right,
right? Like
right.
it is pretty extraordinary. And I think a lot of people know this and a lot of people don't. Like actually, if you really have trauma that you're hoping to sift through. A lot of people go to therapists, but they don't look for somebody who's a specialist in trauma, and that's totally a thing, in
It
the world
is.
of therapy, that if that is your objective, then then you should seek out somebody who does specialize.
Yeah, there are some really good, IFS, internal family
Right.
systems.
That's one of the whole modalities, right?
That's one of the
That
modalities,
deals well
correct.
with trauma. Yeah.
And maybe it's something that I've been drawn to because that modality is becoming adopted more and more by coaches, how to, who are helping clients who may not need a therapist, but just want to talk with a coach about some of these experiences, the way you were coaching me here today. And I'm drawn to that. So I perhaps my own experience, here's another gift, or an opportunity, actually. This is an opportunity for me,
Yeah.
to go get that training and help others, process their traumatic memories.
Yeah. As we sort of finish up here, I have this urge just to ask you to ask your heart today, in this day following, this big flood that you allowed to go through yesterday. Like, what does your heart have any words or messages or wisdom from the day yesterday?
Not your fault is the phrase that forgiveness.
Forgiveness,
Yeah.
which is
That
a
was not my fault.
pretty incredible reason and compelling reason, maybe, to clean something up, because it sounds like you really cleaned up something for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what this
We're both
is
going
that.
to start crying here, aren't we? I'm
I'm already Misty.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah, folks,
Well,
you don't want to
thank you
carry
for.
around that guilt or shame and for something that wasn't your fault. You don't my message is don't let it take 40 years to, carry that around.
And the work is, you forgive yourself, right? Whatever the rest of the world does. It sounds like Al forgave you immediately,
He
but you've
did.
been carrying around your own, right? Like, the work for
Of
you
course.
had nothing to do with being forgiven by anybody else. It was just letting your heart tell you, like, you didn't cause this.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
But
I
there's no
think
light when you're
that's
done feeling
also the
that.
blessing. So, the impact you asked earlier, the impact of not processing it sooner is that I did carry that around with me, for a long time. And I could have like we shared in a previous podcast, I put her down miles ago. Why are you still carrying her? The old Zen story, right? I could have put that load
Burden
down a
down.
long time ago, right?
Well, I'm glad you did it yesterday.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, folks, that's not where we were heading initially, but we're going to talk about complexity
Next time,
and
next time. Tune
maybe
in next
next
time.
time.
Yeah.
But appreciate you, Margaret, creating the space and going with that. And it did seem like that was not our intention, but this is the show. We just go where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that story, David. I know that was very personal, and I bet somebody is going to listen and be really impacted
Yeah, I hope so.
by the arc of that. Yeah.
All right. That's it, folks. Take care.